Broadcasted live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
Thank you so much for staying with us. As you know, on a Wednesday, we host none other than Thabiseng Tubazana, who's here for all your legal... When I say all your legal questions, I mean anything you can imagine that's a legal matter. She's here to assist for free. 086-000-0959. Start sending your questions. Start calling in. You know, lay it all out, and then she can assist you. You can send the voice notes or a long text if you like on 063-688-0959. Thabiseng, good evening and welcome.
Good evening. Nice to be back.
Yeah. So today, I was just telling Gugu earlier on that you want to talk about constructive dismissal. The problem with constructive dismissal is that it can be so subjective.
Yes.
It can be me imagining that someone has it in for me,
mm-hmm.
or it really being true. And the question is, what are the hallmarks? So we are sitting at the office, and every now and then you hear your team members or your bosses say, "Oh no, no, no! You can go ahead and go fetch your children." Oh no, 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 no problem, no problem. We'll handle it. No worries. You can no, that's fine. It's fine, darling. You can go home. You're not. No, it's okay. We'll be fine. After a while, you don't have any work.
Yeah.
And then, oh, no, no, don't worry, darling. We've got it. No, Thabiseng will handle that. No, don't worry. Kanti. Hey. Kanti. They're not being nice.
You can't open the show with that voice.
Kanti.
Like, you get me.
Kanti. No, they're not being nice. They're rendering you useless. They're trying to say, we don't need her.
Yeah.
And that right there is the problem.
Yeah, yeah.
It sounds nice. Like, oh, no, darling. Oh, darling, it's okay. No, don't worry. And then when, my boss is on, come to us, we'll tell you. They're not being nice, these people. They're trying to find a way to say, oh, Rishab, we can do without her.
Yeah, yeah.
This right there. These are the red flags. And this is specifically for the new people
who don't in the workplace.
Who don't know how corporates work. Don't buy that smile. Do not buy that oh no thing. Don't do it. No, it's okay. No, darling, it's okay. No, don't worry. Oh, no, you can stay home. They were always watching you because they were gathering data. So how do I know if that oh no is nice or it's part of the plan?
That's the thing, you really never know if
this
there's a plan in place.
This is it.
To, you know, get you out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
So there's so much case law around constructive dismissal, but the basic part of what constructive dismissal should be is that, one, you as the employee should resign. That's the basis. You have resigned. Now, the reasons for your resignation, the courts have agreed that it has to be a situation where the employer has made the workspace so intolerable. And intolerable, like,
but
we said,
yeah. this is the thing.
Yeah.
And that's why, I mean, really, it's important for people to get this.
Yeah.
Because sometimes there are things that are easy. They're easy cases,
yes.
Where, yes, your boss is always fighting you. But when it's, oh, no, darling. No, no, take the... No, darling, go. Take the afternoon off. Are you not feeling well? Oh, no. Just take... No, my angel, don't come back. No, 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 no. I tell you what. Take the week off, okay? And then let's see how you're feeling next week. And then, you know, if you're not okay, I'll phone Ellie Sunday. Listen, darling, I promise you, we'll be fine. We'll be fine. Look after yourself. Go to the doctor and let's see. How's that? Let's see. And let's see how you're doing. Week two. No, my angel, look after. You know what? Your health is so important. Ile week two. Seven Sabarhuena. Oh no, darling. And then you guys laugh. Hey, but I'm trying to help you. Yeah. You know, this is the world. The real world is like this. This oh no. When answer phone la mutohao are it's fine, darling. Hi on 12. Ko HR. It's week two.
How are you, 17?
14 days. How are you? I can tell you now, somebody has got a record of that. And at that hearing, oh no, darling, no one's going to say, I said, it's fine. I do high. They're going to say, but you are away for 14 days, ma'am. 14 days. Do you think you can be fit? Are you fit enough for this job?
Mm.
This is, you see, 14 days straight. How about but the letter of the doctor said 3 days.
Mm.
Because your boss said, oh no, darling, look after yourself. The problem is that oh no is not something you can't present that as a legitimate reason for staying home.
That's why it is important for you as the employee to know what it is that is available to you in that workspace, including the oh no, how you're going to use it going forward. So the thing, constructive dismissal, is that the onus does not lie on the employer.
Exactly.
To prove that they made the workspace intolerable.
It's you.
It's you. Mm. You must show how it is that the workspace was made so toxic that you had to go. Right, and it has to be a situation, Yahori. It is not the fact that there were other measures that could have been followed, and you chose not to do that, and then you went for resigning, and then you're coming back to claim constructive dismissal. So you have to show. This is now where the burden of proof is very heavy on the employee to say you're saying that Pimelo did 1, 2, 3, 4 and then when she left her position, Tabi Singh came into the position and also did the same thing. You know, you need to show proof and causality, the link that is what led to you resigning.
And what's important here, guys, is that a feeling,
yes,
is not you can't use a feeling as something that can be used. And look, you can feel, and that's just the problem. It doesn't mean the feeling is not true.
Yes.
Ne? Mar, tabadi feeling, it doesn't sit with legal matters or HR.
Mm.
Ibatla, you must deal with it in another way.
Correct.
Ibatla the psychologist, so.
Yes.
Yahori, they make me feel unwelcome. One other thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true. They make you feel unwelcome. But you must sit right there.
Yes.
With even if they don't give you work, you must just sit there. And keep firing the emails of requesting the work.
Yes.
Because that's the only way you're going to prove that they ignored you and they denied you work.
100%. You can't just sit with the feeling.
Yes.
You have to go report it to HR. Lodge a grievance to say, this is the situation that I am living with. I have escalated to my direct line manager. If it's your line manager who's making your life miserable, go to the person who that line manager reports to. If that person does not attend to it or does not do anything about it, then you go and lodge a grievance at HR or wherever the case may be. And then this is the important part, let the grievance process finish so that there's an outcome that can be relied on.
But one of the things that has to happen even before you get there is documentation. You have got to make it clear,
yes,
that kinali problemi, and the problem that I have is X, and I have been communicating officially.
Yes.
Right? So if you are not communicating officially, then it's a problem.
Yes. And things like, for example, that you were not given a promotion, that is not viewed as a reason for you to now resign and then come and claim constructive dismissal. You cannot claim unfavorable work performance assessment because your line manager gave you a 50% when you thought you deserve a 70% in your KPIs. Those are not things that the courts will view as an intolerable work space, because if you're unable to prove that the employer's actions amounted to repudiation, this is the important part. repudiation of the employment contract. So you know what the terms of your contract are, that you are supposed to deliver X, Y, and Z. An employer has to now deliver A, B, and C. But if the actions of the employer are basically repudiating the terms of that particular contract, then it means there is no contract to uphold. Therefore, you can then resign because it is evidently nothing more you can do apart from doing the processes that we're talking about, that you've complained about it, you've lodged the paperwork, you followed through, there was an outcome. If you're not happy with the outcome, you appealed it, all those things. And doesn't mean when you're doing those things, the workspace is getting better to work in. Actually, it's getting worse. We agree. But in order for you to go to the CCMA and prove that you were constructively dismissed, you need to have such strong evidence. Yeah.
You must back up all the grievances with, like, paper trail.
Correct.
Paper trail. Write an email. Send. Be clear with your boss.
Yes.
No, ha, I don't know, darling. Ungale mo, hore. Does it mean you must ask clearly? Does it mean I must be away and not do the work? Our Arabica email, write it down.
Yes.
Does it mean I must take the day off? Write it down. So be very clear in keeping a paper trail of what it is that they are saying to you, so that that data can be analyzed by other people too at a later stage.
Correct, correct. Because a lot of people refer their matter to the CCMA for constructive dismissal because of how they felt at work.
They didn't make me feel welcome.
You know what I mean? And then they fail dismally when they get to the CCMA, and they feel that the CCMA, the commissioners, are not doing their job.
And guys, if your colleagues have lunch without you and they huddle together, that's not a problem.
No.
You know? No. If your colleagues badula baleka ofela and leave you out,
yeah,
it's not a problem.
Yeah.
Just eat alone. Just eat alone and move right along. Utlaba
right.
Utlaba strong.
Yes.
Tata Sifudi, good evening and welcome.
Evening to you and your guest.
Evening.
Good evening.
You know that in this case, the author stepped against the employee. There are power dynamics.
Yeah.
And Austimelo and Nwena, I will see. You must have a witness when it comes. Witnesses when it comes to
yes.
issue of a constructive dismissal. Mm-hmm. And imagine the employee, the junior, having to be the witness against the manager.
Yeah,
it's a difficult case, and to prove it, you ought to have to be headstrong and have a tough skin, a thick skin, because this thing, you don't have to have a weak heart. You must be able to talk truth to power, and it's very, very difficult. And the employees, sometimes workers, we as union leaders, union representatives, workers don't listen. You should note everything down. Inconsistency, unequal treatment, subjected to that, and sometimes it's very, very difficult, because those who are supposed to be your witnesses may be benefiting from those inconsistencies and forgetting that what is done to their colleague, tomorrow it may be them, you know. Good evening to you guys.
Hey, good evening, Dada Sifudi.
Thank you.
Very good points.
Yeah.
Very good points, because the person that will likely be your
witness,
it's like, Andizi, those are your problems. Even if they can back your story,
yes,
you may find that they are too afraid. They're too afraid to step up and speak up because they know how they can be sidelined themselves, like you.
They don't want to be you.
They don't want to be
other words.
And it can happen.
Yes, and that's the downside, like he was saying, of constructive dismissal, because most people have so many witnesses. I can confirm that I saw and type shouting at Pamela like this,
but
the chief,
again,
but she will not come.
Agidikene, andizi. It's not my problem.
Exactly. So that's why it's important to document everything. If you're not near a computer to send an email or whatever the case may be, text, WhatsApp messages are accepted.
But there must be a trail.
There must be a trail of what has happened. And if necessary, you can even record those phone calls that are happening so you can produce it as evidence if it's a phone call. But you need to make sure that once you start suspecting that there's something untoward that's happening in my workspace, let me start trying to protect myself so that you know your code of conduct. I know I've said this so many times when you've talked, that you need to know the code of conduct of your workplace. If your employer is, quote unquote, hiding the code of conduct, they can't come and say that you knew that this is what we expect of you and whatnot. Apart from your employment contract, there's the code of conduct that deals with what you should do on a day-to-day basis in a team, how you should work with each other and all those things apart from your KPI. So employers tend not to give employees the code of conduct. And then when
interesting, really.
Yeah. And then they don't put it or somewhere
it's not
nearby.
Out there.
Yeah. Because usually in the intranet, it will be there. So it's easily accessible to you so that you can know what it is you should or should not do. What are the consequences for you having done X, Y, and Z? And then you do something not knowing that it is something that's not allowed by the employer. And then they then, aha, we've got you.
Yeah. Like some of you will now decide to have a relationship at work.
Yeah.
Kanti.
It is not accepted.
In this office?
Yes.
It's not allowed for you to have relationships in this particular office.
Mm.
And then, ebelelwana. And then you bring your issues to the office.
Yeah.
And right there is dismissible.
Yes.
That particular case. Because, right, even if you are right and the other one was wrong, you may find yourself dismissed because the code of conduct of this particular organization says you shouldn't be having relationships, romantic relationships, in this office.
Correct. Correct. And then if you raise, but I didn't know about it. No, but you should have known. But where is it? Now we're looking at Schedule 8 of the Code of Good Practice, Good Conduct, sorry, wherein it says that employers need to ensure or be very cognizant that employees are very well versed with what is common practice in the workspace. Don't assume that they know. You need to make sure that it's a rule that if it's necessary, put the code of conduct on the wall.
Oh, but Ntabi Singh, you know, I have been to buildings where these things are every from the lift.
Yeah.
How many of you stopped to read?
But that's the thing. That's now when is the employee, now your problem.
Yes.
The employer can say, it's there on the wall, in the lift, like you're saying, on the stairwell, in the bathroom when you're taking a leak, whatever, it's there. Why did you not read? Because it is there in your face for you to be aware, but we choose not to read and understand what it is that is expected of us.
Mm.
And then it lands us in hot water. When a situation of Buanga Yona wherein people had a romantic relationship, it ended up coming back into the office in the sense that now one is crying rape. So now the code
can get very messy.
Very messy.
Mm.
And now the code of conduct of the employer had to now change because of that situation. There was no real law in the business about whether or not there should be relationships in the workplace, and there was no real explanation what sexual harassment is in terms of what they believe it is. So that all had to be revamped and revised so that it accommodates for anything that comes in future that relates to something like this.
Give us an example of people who lost their cases at the CCMA.
Yeah.
Because they just didn't know that they should have done X, Y, Z and just took it for granted that, you know, I'm the victim.
Sure.
And I lost my case and the CCMA should have just, you know, found in my favor.
There are so many. Like, I don't know. There's one that stands out for me. Ustay versus Transnet LTD. Wherein it was, it's a long story. In fact, there's one, yeah, prison. I think that one for me is the one that is Pretoria Society for the Care of the Retarded versus Lutz. In this situation, the employee was expected to do certain things, but this was never communicated to her. And then the words that were used by the judges, that the book was thrown at her. So everything, the warning, leading were thrown her way. But she was never talked through in the years that she was there. What it is that she's expected to do apart from her employment contract. So she took it to the CCMA, where in fact she won to show that the workplace had become so intolerable. There was no other option apart from being from resigning. And then the employer took it on review, and then that was dismissed, and then they appealed that review, and still the CCMA decision stood. So that was a good one. But others, like Bowat versus Honey and Honey Dairies and all of that, the employee doesn't come with facts.
Yeah. You just think because I am a victim, when I get there and I cry,
that they're going to listen to you. The standard is so much higher when it comes to constructive dismissal.
And the company will come ready.
Yes. They have been through this more than once. The CCMA is home.
Is home. Baba tseba.
You know?
Baba dumedi sa ka mabitso.
Exactly.
First name, umutlela ka di cookies.
Even if asna any legal experience, going there enough times, you now know what to do when you get there.
Yeah.
And when this is your first time. So if you don't, one, go and consult with somebody to see if you actually do have a case for constructive dismissal, you're going to end up with a losing hand, and you're going to say that the law is not on your side in any manner. But what did you do to prove your case? We usually don't do anything. I complained to Ospermel instead of actually doing the work to show that this is what is happening. Document everything that happens from the moment you start seeing there's a problem. Start.
Okay, let's take a break, and let's also take your questions, all your legal questions, through for Ntabi Seng, 086-00-00959. You can send a voice note to 063-688-0959. Remember, it doesn't have to be about the workplace. You can ask any legal questions. She'll be able to assist.
It's amazing, Dumazana is here. Listen, send in your questions, 086-00-00959. WhatsApp note in 063-688-0959. You must be asking why we're laughing. Because some of us, you think your friends are your legal advisors. And you know how we are sitting convincing each other. Basi! Basi!
Basile. And then you get wound up.
Your friend has told you basile.
Yeah.
And you think you're going to go to the CCMA telling them basile.
Yes.
Because your friend said, sis chomi, barengi. Chomi next. Never. Never chomi, never. Eh?
Never. It would never happen to me.
That one? And then why now you think your friend knows hurbasile?
Eh.
There's no such, guys. Do not listen to your friends. Do what? Never, chomi. Never. Chomi is not working.
Yeah.
They're no offer advice. They don't have a job.
But yes.
Tells you
what to do.
What? Who says na chomi never? Never. Basile chomi. But what thing? Look at the teddy. Ah, chomi, no. Banana. I mean, that's the nature of the job. Like, hello. That's how we do what we do. So your friends are not your legal advisors,
please, guys.
Your friends did not pay the salary, your friends did not employ you. You cannot listen to your friends. Every job has its own template.
Yes.
And that's just the nature of the game. But what thing? But I was saying, chomi, next, nankasike chomi, never, never.
And that's what usually lands our people in a lot of hot water.
Yeah.
And the thing is, people also think that legal advice is you going to pay consultation fee, gaika, and you're going to get your legal advice. There are so many places for you to go get legal advice for free. One, there's legal aid. Two, there's the law clinic. Like, for example, the Vets Law Clinic almost all universities have the law clinic.
Okay.
Where in fourth, final year students are there doing their practicals guided by actual practicing attorneys.
And they can help you, yes, as part of their practical.
Yes. So you go there, you tell them this is the situation, this is what's happening. Then they advise you accordingly. So you go there with actual legal advice. And if it goes further, then maybe you can consider getting an attorney who's going to represent you in that situation. But letting CCMA is not an automatic thing that you're going to get an attorney appointed for you, because some matters, the commissioner is going to look at your attorney. Why are you here?
Yeah,
please step
out. It's a simple matter. You don't need this guy.
Yes, there's no expertise, because attorneys are deemed to make things longer and you know,
make complicated sometimes.
Yes, and whereas when it's just a manner, a point wherein we can resolve this, then that's what they do. That's why the first option, whenever you go to a CCMA hearing, you will see, you'll get a notice that says con/arb. So it is conciliation and arbitration. The first thing they start with is conciliation, to try and mediate the situation. And in mediation, no attorney is allowed in there, no matter whatever you do. Mm. No lawyer is going to be allowed in there. It's between the employer and the employee and the commissioner. And then they're going to see there's a way to bridge the gap. If they're able to do it without you, then that's that. Conciliation is done. They issue a certificate.
What do you mean? How can it happen without you?
As the attorney. Sorry about that.
Okay.
So they can fix their stuff there, the employee without the attorney, and then, you know, that's that, life goes on. But if conciliation fails, then the matter is referred for arbitration. So arbitration is, for lack of a better term, the trial.
Mm.
Now where we're leading evidence so that we can talk about the case. But even in that arbitration, it's not automatic that an attorney would be allowed in that.
Mm.
You have to make an application as an attorney to say, I've been appointed by Ntabiseng.
And they have to agree.
Yes, they have to agree whether or not this matter is complicated enough for an attorney to be present. Otherwise, you can be permitted to sit in, but you can't say anything as an attorney. The commissioner can say, I'm not allowing you to assist this person in the sense that you're going to represent them, but you can sit in here and be silent and listen. If the person, I feel, we can adjourn, they can have a home, and then come back and you sit silently. But if you refuse to sit silently, the commissioner will kick you out as well as the attorney. So these are things that people need to consider when you take your matters to the CCMA. So it is not as easy or as simple as, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 when you get to the CCMA. So make sure that you have sufficient evidence with you when you go there and understand your employer's code of conduct. I wonder if you can understand procedure, yamsebeti. That's what makes most employers lose at the CCMA. They don't follow their own process. And then if you put a process, your house says you must start here, then here, then here. You skipped all this. You went here. So how are we here?
And, you know, we'll get back to this, because sometimes it's small things.
Yeah.
Literally small things. It's the decision you make with your colleague about changing, I don't know, access cards or whatever the case may be, and then the other one uses the other's card to gain access at an inappropriate time, for instance.
Mm.
But it's your access card.
Yes.
So the person who will be held responsible if something goes wrong would be you, even if you are not there.
Yeah.
Because that's the person, the data, whose data is on record to have been. If you, for instance, the kind of person that comes, if your hours are important to clock.
Mm.
When you put in your finger and when you put in your... That's how they check how long you were in the office.
Yes.
Or maybe you forget. You don't put in your finger.
Mm.
People may say, well, actually, we didn't count the number of hours you were at work. It's contested because maybe you stepped out to fetch something outside, and when you came back, you didn't use your finger again.
Yeah.
No, you were only here for an hour.
Mm.
And maybe that was not the case. But data is important to be able to follow through. Okay,
very
let's
much.
Take a quick voice note. Voice note's coming through on 063-688-0959. You can also do the same if you like, or you can call on 086-000-0959.
Question regarding the constructive dismissal. I just want to find out, say for instance, you don't have, like, you haven't documented any evidence, however you get that feeling that is not, you know, heavy in terms of the law. So ultimately your line manager decide to reach out to you when they see that you're not just budging, you're not tendering that resignation, then they ask you like, sorry, you can see that our relationship is broken, how about you leave and then we're gonna give you 2 months or 3 months of your salaries. And I take that as a proof for a constructive dismissal.
100%. There's actually case law that deals with something similar to what you say.
Give us, yeah.
So in that situation, it was a matter of they were, it was subtle, the way that the voice note is saying. It was subtle, implying that, no, you can do this or you can do that. And when you didn't fall within that trap, when the employee did not fall within that trap, she was then actually told that the relationship has soured and no reasons were really given to her, and then therefore we are giving you X amount of time to vacate. This was said verbally, and mm-hmm. then she requested it to be put in writing, and then the employer did that. I don't know why they thought that was a good idea, but they put it in writing, and then she then replied and said, please explain to me what you mean but the relationship has soured between us. What it is that I have done? Have I not adhered to the employer's code? What have I done that has put us in this situation? And it was a matter of feelings more than anything else. It was not, you didn't do this and your requirements
were
this.
We feel that you are unhappy at work. We feel that you don't like to participate. We feel that you're disengaged.
Yeah.
You see these words that are all subjective.
Yeah.
And how do we feel that you are not happy,
yeah.
you don't like to engage, you don't participate?
And then her reply was, well, this is what I am doing. This is what you have failed to do. This is the emails that I have been sending and requesting X, Y, and Z, but you have failed to do that. I am therefore not going to resign or leave the employment. If you are dismissing me, your code of conduct says 1, 2, 3,
should
4.
Have happened.
Please follow your code of conduct. They fired her anyway.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And then it went to the CCMA. She won. But you know, it wasn't a constructive dismissal like this situation.
Yes.
But then I remember the case, the court said, when it went for review, the court said, had she even resigned the way that you were requesting,
it would still be in her favor.
It would still be in her favor.
So they can still reverse it. The CCMA, even after the fact, would have still been able to say,
correct,
it was unfair. She was under undue pressure.
Correct. Correct. There was no other reasonable option apart from having to leave. Because there are other situations whereby they threaten you, you didn't adhere to the code of conduct, for example, or you were doing the right thing, but
someone has
Tamaya. Otherwise, we're going to fire you anyway. Yeah.
So the Tamaya, otherwise we're going to fire you, must just sit still.
Yeah, sit still. Refer to the grievance and all of that and then take it from there. Mm.
Let's take another voice note.
Hi, Tabi Singh and Pamela. I have a question. I'm just wondering, how is it possible, and also, like, does the law allow for companies or government organizations to hire employees but keep them on short-term contracts for years on end? So, like, 6 months, 3 months, sometimes even 1 month contracts for years. Is it normal? Because I was under the impression that after a certain amount of time, you are supposed to be permanent, but it seems to be more common in a place that I know than, like, it's very common for people to be on very short-term contracts for years on end.
Oh, no, government has been taken to task for this for a long time.
Yeah.
Where there are people who get, they just renew the contract every 3 months for 10 years.
Mm.
You know, civil servants who have had it with this kind of behavior. So what's the law say on that in that regard?
From my knowledge, there is no real obligation on the employer to take you permanently.
Mm.
So it is the prerogative of the employer to say, I'm giving you a temporary contract or keeping you permanent. Choose. I'm giving you contract, a temporary. I have the right to either renew it or terminate it when it comes to the end of it or when it comes close to the end of it. So if I renew it, it's because we are discussing it or we've agreed on renewing it, and that's that.
But what does the labor law say around how long? If a person has been, let's say this contract has been renewed like for 3 years, is there an obligation after the 3 years to start recognizing this person as an employee?
I will go and double check, but from memory, I don't recall it being any limit to say it can be renewed only X amount of times and then that person should be considered a permanent employee, because you cannot force on me to hire somebody permanently, because hopefully when I hire you permanently, the benefits that come with that are a lot.
Yeah.
So I am trying to also save my financial status as an employer so that I don't end up retrenching you and then you don't have an income at all at the end of the day. So these are the things that the labor laws can't really enforce on an employer to say you are forced to do this after X amount of time, because when I retrench, you're going to be complaining that I'm not doing it the right way or it was sudden, but now I'm overwhelmed because I have more permanent employees than I did temporary ones, which balanced out the situation and being able to give employment to certain individuals.
That's quite sad.
Yeah.
And that does happen a lot. Let me take a quick break. When we come back, more of your voice notes as well as calls. Thanks so much for staying with us. Ntabi Seng Dubazana is in studio with us, and she's very happy to take your calls on 086-000-00959. Also very happy to listen to your voice notes on 063-688-0959. This is all legal things here that she's willing to talk about. You have been quite busy planning an estate. Is it an estate?
Yes. So September is what we call Will's Month in our country. So the week, the 16th to the 20th of September is Free Wills Week.
Mm-hmm.
So most, if not all, law firms do wills for you for free, right? So what I've been doing, this will be now our third year doing it. It's been for free. This year is also still for free.
Mm.
So what we're going to be talking about will be in collaboration with Masina Attorneys. Mizi has been here with me as well. Mm-hmm. We're talking about property matters and also with legal aid. So legal aid in Soweto and then legal aid in Alexandra. Mm. So the aim or the reason for doing this is because as we've seen when you and I are talking a lot of our people don't understand how to deal with deceased estates.
Yeah. And let's just also just touch on the fact that a will doesn't necessarily have to be for someone who sits with loads of cash.
Correct.
Because I think that's the perception is that, no, why would I want a will?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, like, what do I have to offer? I don't have anything I'm going to leave behind. What's the downside to that?
The downside to that is that you're leaving a fight, one, amongst the people who are remaining. And then even if you own the smallest of things, they still need to be wound up. Your estate needs to be wound up. So if you leave the estate without instructions, i.e. a will, on how it is it should be wound up, people tend to just tear it apart, and then things still remain in your name, but now they are being fought over as if they belong to people. So in a will, you state that teaspoon that was being handed over for generations, I now want it to go to Ntabi Seng. The clothes that I have been buying, I want them to go to so-and-so. In this house that we are probably renting, there is furniture. That furniture, I want it to go to so-and-so. In my bank account, and whatnot, I have been saving X amount every month. I want this money to go to so-and-so. Because if you don't do that and you die what we call intestate, you're going to find that the monies and the things that you wanted to go to in Ntabi Seng in your family are now going to somebody else who goes and gets a letter of authority or a letter of executorship and then gets control of your estate and then distributes it the way they want.
Who qualifies to be the executor of your estate?
Anyone who goes to the master's office or the magistrate's office first and claims to be your relative.
Did you hear? Anybody.
So that is what is the downside, because you're going to go to the magistrate's office and say, I am relation Ntabi Seng, and you may bring proof that you are a relation, that's enough. That's all they need. And then you submit the initial paperwork, or the inventory, the notice of death, all those things. Next of kin affidavits, all of those things. These are the initial paperwork. You submit that BAUFA letter of authority if you're in the match court. If you're in the high court, BAUFA letter of executorship. But people tend to think that those letters give you ownership. No. You don't own anything of the deceased.
You're just administering the estate.
But then it gives you the powers to decide how you're going to
wrap up this thing.
Correct.
I know that you can also contest the person who went and decided that they want to be the executor of the estate.
Yes.
The complications thereof.
Complications that you need to go to court. Firstly, to prove that the letters of executorship or of authority were gotten fraudulently. Mm. That's the first thing in your papers. So basically, in your notice of motion, prayer one would be that let the letter of authority or executorship be removed from Ntabiseng.
Yeah.
And then prayer two would be that any assets that are remaining within the estate to not be dealt with by Ntabiseng, by whoever, and the letter of authority or executorship now be given to this person who's now making the application. If there's been any spending of any funds or any distribution of anything, they have to be reimbursed or put back into the estate so they can be dealt with accordingly.
If there is contestation of who the executor is, it obviously in the meantime freezes everything.
Yes. Yes, it does. The master would, once they get served with the papers, because the first respondent will be the person who has the letters of executorship who got them incorrectly, and then the second respondent is the master. So they are aware that there's a case that is happening. So then they freeze everything. So nothing will happen on that estate until there's a judgment from this particular matter. So if there are minors involved, that means that the minors are not going to get access to any monies that are due to them. The houses that are attached to this property, they're accumulating debt because there's no one there to pay all of those things.
When that happens, can the city or the municipality attach just to get their money back?
Correct.
In the meantime?
Yes. And if they do that, it means that they're going to sell the property to recoup their debt. So you need to have somebody who's knowledgeable enough to inform the city and say, this matter is now under a deceased estate. Kindly note there's also a case that is here, so that they don't do the attachments. The bill will run, but they can now claim from the estate. And not from the people that are living in that particular household. But most times this leads to a state being insolvent.
Yeah, in the end, there's no money anymore.
Yes, because the first people, that's another thing people don't know. The first people to get paid a deceased estate is the creditors. It's not the beneficiaries.
Yes, of course.
The beneficiaries get what's left.
Another thing, guys. The person administrating the estate, what's it called? The
executor.
The executor.
Yeah.
You take on all the problems too. You're not just going to inherit.
Yes.
And get the money. The debts too are your responsibility.
Yes.
So you are in charge of this person's life. You are running this person's affair, good or bad.
Yes.
Even if there are things you didn't know, once they come out,
you have to deal with them.
That's your problem.
You have to deal with
them. That's your problem.
So this is what we're going to be talking about at our event. It's going to be on the 7th. Yeah, 7th September at Grace Bible Church.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the 8th of September, the next day, it's going to be at Cosmo Hall.
Okay.
Yeah.
We have a voice. Oh, no, it's not a voice. It's a text from Sandile who says, good evening. Just want to ask if an affidavit be used instead of a will. I think no.
Section 2 of the Wills Act is very clear. It has to be a will. An affidavit doesn't...
So affidavit airing. Now my mother told me, I must take the car.
Yep.
And I'm swearing on an oath to say my mother said the house is mine.
She may have said it, Shem, but if it's not a will, It cannot be accepted. The requirements for a will, it must be reduced to writing. It must be witnessed by two people who are over the age of 14. It must have the signature of the testator, right? And then it must be stamped by a commissioner of oaths. Those are the requirements of a will. A commissioner of oaths you can give or take, but these three, you cannot escape it. It must show who the one you're also repudiating any other will prior to the one that you're doing now. So, Okatoloro, you went to go do a will with a financial institution because mm-hmm. you heard a show like this. Mm. And then you end up, Kaduka Wills Week, going to an attorney mm. and having a very detailed will.
Yes, yes.
That detailed will has to specifically state, I am repudiating any
see.
Other will that I have
does
made.
Does the date not necessarily give
no.
it away?
No.
What?
You have to repudiate it.
So you have to say?
Yes.
Ignore any other?
Yes. This is my will. This is my will. How it's a will when you were married and you're saying my wife will or my husband will. And then you guys divorce and you do nothing about that will.
Mm.
And
it
one of you
stands.
Dies.
And still stands.
Yes. The one who dies and he or she was the one that said my spouse is going to inherit X, Y, and Z.
Spouse is the one you were married to at that time.
Yes. That spouse is going to inherit.
Even if you have spouse number two.
Even if you've been divorced for 50 years, that spouse is going to inherit if you do not change your will. And you have 30 days to change your will after divorce.
It gets better. It gets better. You say the child of the spouse I'm married to inherits my things, and then you divorce that person.
Mm. It stands. You need to repudiate.
And then wanna inherits the things even though you guys have been apart for X number of years.
Yes. Yes. I was dealing with a divorce a deceased estate exactly like that. They were divorced for 10 years. No will was changed. Current woman would they've been taking care, they never got married, but they were living as such. When he died, did not the ex-wife come? The ex-wife came.
And said, I'm the rightful.
So, bring it here. Kitsakate. And there's nothing this woman can do. Nothing.
Yo, guys. You see, this is why you must tidy up your life.
Yes.
Guys, tidy up your life before you go. Because you leave people in a mess.
In a serious mess.
No, you leave people in a mess. And this happens all
the time.
The time.
All the time. The only reason that this lady has some kind of access, so to speak, to the deceased estate is because there's a minor involved. The minor has a right, regardless, to claim at least maintenance from the deceased estate. But if illy insolvent, then what?
Let's talk about those people who so-called, and I'm using this deliberately, who suddenly have the epiphany to write a will at their deathbed. And it, you know what I mean? Where Halisho, or that will, because I'm on my deathbed.
Hey.
I can't write, I can't, like, I'm on my deathbed. But suddenly a will appears. After a week or so, where someone says, no, this person wrote the will.
Mm.
And all of you are like, how?
Mm.
How?
Courts are actually divided on that.
Mm.
The one school of thought is saying that a deathbed confession stroke will can be accepted if it can be proven.
Mm.
And there's a lot of circumstances you need to prove that this person was in their sound and
this
sober
is the
senses.
Question.
If they were lucid.
Who was whispering in
that's
their ear
the thing.
At the time?
That's the thing.
Hey, mama, walamu. Wala, mama. Wala. Wala, or. Eriko, go tsware, eriko, go tuse. Wala.
Yeah.
So my hand over my mother's head.
Yes.
To write this will.
Mwala
mama. Mwala. Ere. then there goes the wheel.
There was a case wherein it was a deathbed will. This man met this woman, Monating. They got in a car accident. And, yeah, just before the car accident, he bequeathed his entire estate to this woman.
Yeah.
On a tissue. Yeah. He bequeathed his entire estate, signed it.
Aring can get tissue paper.
Motwaka.
What is your baby?
Yes, this is all yours and whatnot. But can I accident thing? And the taxi drove into wherever. Awa. And then he died. And then she went with that
tissue paper.
And then she wanted to claim it as legitimate, only to find that this man actually had a lot of money. And
it's not only to find that she knew that.
Probably. Probably. And that's what the argument of the family was. Mm-mm. And then the court refused that.
The tissue paper.
But then there was another case where in the circumstance that you're talking about, whereby the testator was very ill, but had moments whereby they could be
in and out.
Rabon. Abadrafta a will leaving his entire estate to his new wife of 2 years, whereas he's got children who are like 40 years old and whatnot. So the children contested that will and said, no, she's too new in your life and whatnot.
Let me guess what she said. When he was in and out,
yes. Yes.
Hanagi mupumula. Neleliga.
Yes.
He saw fit to give me the money because I was the one looking after him.
Correct.
Where were you people?
Correct. Mm-hmm. And she went and she brought the doctor that was taking care of him and also a neuroscientist.
Yeah. A neurologist.
Yes. Brought them in to confirm that people who have that condition have moments of lucidity. So it cannot be disputed
and anyway,
that at that moment he was lucid.
The man was grateful at the time. Neleliga.
Mm.
The man was grateful that in my state, the person looking after me is the 2-year-old relationship.
Yes. And that's how she won. And the will was accepted.
Luna. Likokai.
Yeah.
Mm. Let's have a voice note.
Hi, ladies. So I do have a problem here. So one day I went to work. And when I got there, the guy in charge told me that the lady from the agency said I must give her a call. So I called her and then she told me the guy who's in charge says he will no longer need my services there. Without a warning, you know, without any warning, I just went to work, you know, as usual. But I was told to call her and then she said she was going to transfer me. So I have to go back home. And this was in 2022, in November. So last year I tried contacting another lady from the agency and then she said I must contact this one who promised to transfer me, but now I could not reach her. So like I've been going back and forth with this and like without getting any help. So I am still unemployed. I have 2 kids that I need to take care of and I still have a contract with these people. So what I wanted to ask is there any time frame like whereby maybe I need to act fast and contact the CCMA and then see if maybe I can get help?
Yeah, no. From date of them saying you're going to be transferred, if they've given you a time frame, for example, because it doesn't sound like there was a time frame that you're going to be transferred from here to there. But if like 14 days or so had passed without any communication, that would have been your window of opportunity to refer to the CCMA. Now it's long overdue because you have 30 days to refer a matter to the CCMA wherein the issue has arisen, but you can still refer it, but you need to fill in what we call a condonation application. You'll also find that online. That's going to go hand in hand with the LR711 form. So the condonation, you'll explain why you're referring this matter so late so that they can weigh it up and decide if it's worth hearing so late. So yeah.
A husky smell. I'm so sorry about that. Anonymous is calling from Joburg. Hello, Anonymous.
Hi, great. Pamela, good evening.
Good evening.
So regarding the constructive dismissal that you were talking about, the question I have is when it's the opposite of an employee being denied work. It is an employee that is now being frustrated by the sheer amount of work that they've been given. So it and over and above that, they get so micromanaged that it results in them having to come extra hours just to make this work go away.
Almost like you're being set up for failure, ne?
Definitely being set up for failure.
Have you lodged a grievance?
Because what you're talking about is that it is a feeling at the moment. Is it really happening? Is it somebody gunning?
You know what? I think, Anonymous, it's in the language, ne? So for now, if let's say you're not sure, you're not sure what exactly this is, I think use the kind of language that also does not antagonize the employer. So just to flag, you know, to say, my workload, just maybe start like that. You know, my workload has increased or is a lot more than I am able to handle at the moment. Is there a way in which we can get assistance or whatever? So see how they respond to some of these things. But you must also be careful with your language to see whether the response confirms what you're thinking or whether it's genuine. If it's not the case, then they will obviously address it.
Correct.
And you will get a sense. But if you start feeling that these people have got an agenda, continue documenting, continue writing the emails to then say, well, you know, are we able? Also, I suppose you can suggest, are we able to structure it in this way, in the way that you feel it will assist you? And if you find that there's resistance, at least you've got paper trail. There, you've already got paper trail.
One thing I do know that the employer always tries to hide behind, in every employment contract, there's always that one clause that says, over and above, over and above whatever it is that you're supposed to do per the terms and conditions of the contract, there's also this clause, etlorabanim, you should work anything that the employer puts your way. So what I probably would want to know, Gore, the work that you're currently doing, is it work that somebody in your current position would do, or is it work that somebody in a higher or even lower position would be asked to do?
It is still the work that I'll be able to do, but it is the sheer volume.
Is it more like work for two people?
It's a work for at least three or four.
Yeah. Okay. Then in that way, Lauspermin is correct. Start first saying that this is what has happened. I've noticed it happened this way. May I ask that can the work be done in this kind of manner, like Lauspermin is saying? And if that doesn't show anything good, then you can start the process of lodging a grievance to say, I have asked for help, I am drowning.
Oh, so did they have those people before?
It's always been one person. But you see, the help that they do bring in is somebody who comes in for 3 months. In that 3 months, you're imparting knowledge, you're training, you're onboarding.
And then you fall back.
Extra work.
Yeah.
By the time the 3 months come, they leave. And then you start with another person for 3 months. So over and above being overwhelmed with the current duties, then you have to train a person for 3 months, and then they leave, and then another person, and then another person.
So what genuinely is your relationship with your immediate boss, your line manager?
Crappy. It's not open. I mean, it's the same person who subjects me to that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So this is not someone who actually is going to hear you.
Mm-mm.
Anyway. No. This is not someone who's going to hear
but
you.
But do it anyway. Do it anyway. Send that email to your line manager. State your grievances and say, can I get help in this? Let them respond on email. They mustn't come talk to you face to face.
But I think in your email, you must state the facts, as you've just stated, to say, in the manner in which we, and you include yourself here, say, we are doing this thing, we are structuring this thing, it's counterproductive. And say, you know, the introduction of new staff at a short period,
it doesn't allow for building of capacity. Instead, it takes away resources and time, and stated that way. Even if the guy knows exactly what he's doing, but write it so that when you escalate it, you have got absolute valid reasons that it's not personal. You have been clear about, therefore, my suggestion would be, even if it's a junior person, but it is somebody that is there for a lot, you know, with a proper, maybe a proper contract.
Yeah.
That even if you impart knowledge, it's something that can be of the benefit to the business.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh. All right, cool. Thank you so much.
Thanks, man. No. Thank you. All right, Ntabi Seng, where do people find you?
We are in Randburg on 272 Oak Avenue on the ground floor, office G2. Otherwise, call us on 087-265-8010 or WhatsApp us on 079-654-7523 or email us on info@dubazanaattorneys.co.za.
Thanks, everybody. I'll be back tomorrow at 8.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.